Welcome to the Lighthouse Church Sermon Podcast. Subscribe to this podcast to get easy access to the sermons preached on Sundays at Lighthouse Church. These messages are extracted from the live stream of our services, which can be found on our channel, My Lighthouse Vancouver, on YouTube. If you have any questions on these messages, feel free to send your comments or questions via email to info@ladnerlife.com. That's info@ladnerlife.com. Lighthouse Church is located in Metro Vancouver in beautiful British Columbia, Canada, and is affiliated with the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada. Now, here is this Sunday's message.
Good morning. Glad to be here. We are going through the series on Acts, the book of Acts, and looking at disciples on the move. And last week, Danny spoke on the Ethiopian eunuch and kind of how we should listen to the Spirit and listen for those opportunities to bring the gospel to others. And so today we're going to be looking at one of my favorite stories in Acts, and that is the Philippian jailer being saved. And this theme is kind of more focusing on suffering as a way to bring the gospel to others. And so joy for the honoring of suffering is actually a common theme throughout the book of Acts. Looking at the beginning of the early church, it was not nice and cozy. They went through a lot of hardships. Majority of the disciples were actually martyred. They were killed for their faith and their belief. And I know suffering can never be an easy thing. A lot of people actually choose not to follow God because they see so much pain and suffering in this world. Or we hear about Gaza, or we hear about Ukraine, or we hear about shootings and all these awful things. And I know when people do talk about why is there so much pain and suffering, they're talking from a place of personal experience. And I think we need to be willing to be sympathetic and show mercy and understanding to those people. But for me, as I was reading like C.S. Lewis, I think looking at pain and suffering, I believe it really does show the existence of God. Because the way that he puts it is, where would we get our sense of morality from? But I know that there's something in us that hurts when we see injustices, when we see pain, when we see death and all other things. This world was not how it was supposed to be designed. We were supposed to be designed in a world like Genesis 1-2, where God created everything and it was good, but sin destroyed it all. Sin destroyed our relationship with God. It destroyed our relationship with each other and to the world. And that's why I would say our world is in chaos. But the great thing is that there's hope, because one day Jesus will return, where there'll be no more pain, there'll be no more suffering, no more tears. And when I think about it, Jesus also suffered himself. He went to the cross for us. He went through the most excruciating, humiliating pain you could ever think of. The Romans knew what they were doing when they made the crucifixion. And if Jesus didn't suffer for our sake, then we would not have salvation. He needed to die and rise again. And I think as Christians, we have to suffer for the sake of the gospel as well. Jesus says, if you wish to follow me, you must take up your cross and follow me. Following Jesus comes with a cost, and it doesn't always mean that it's easy. It may cost us financially, it may cost us our reputation, or among other things. But Jesus promises that whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. In Jesus, we have life, and if he suffered for us, we should be willing to do the same. I'm making a Lord of the Rings reference, and a bit of a spoiler alert, if you've never watched the movies, well, you know, they were made a long time ago, so a little too late. But I'm reminded when Sam and Frodo, they're getting close to Mount Mordor, and Frodo doesn't want to go on anymore. And Sam is encouraging Frodo to press forward, to keep going. And he's saying, there's good in this world, and it's worth fighting for. Jesus is so good, and if our pain and struggles can bring someone to Jesus, I think it's worth it. If someone can understand the love of God for them, then I think struggling is so worth it. In Acts 16:25-40, Paul and Silas give us a great example of what suffering for the gospel is like and how they brought someone to Jesus. But before we read the text, I just want to give you a bit of a backdrop as what's going on. So Paul and Silas were heading to the synagogue, and they're about to kind of teach or pray. And all of a sudden, this woman starts following him who has the spirit of divination. So it's sort of like looking, it's just not a good thing. If you look in 1 Samuel, King Saul tries to do it, and it was a huge problem for him. It's not something that we should do. It's kind of looking into the future, but we can never predict the future. And so this girl was shrieking at them, at Paul and Silas, and saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." And this wasn't kind of a one-time thing. This was actually like daily, and it happened multiple times. And she was just shrieking at them, "These men are the servants of the Most High God who claim the way of salvation." Can you imagine how annoying that would be? Like, you're trying to go to your work and someone's just shrieking that at you constantly. Like, "Hey, this person's following Jesus." And it would just get annoying, right? And so Paul, being greatly annoyed, he basically commanded the spirit to come out of her the way that Jesus would, which kind of shows that the same spirit that conquered the grave dwells inside of us, and we can do miracles and great things because we have the Holy Spirit with us. And so the spirit comes out of her, and the owners get really mad because they were actually profiting from her. Like, they were actually making money off of her. And so they seized Paul and Silas and brought them into the marketplace, and convinced basically the crowds that they were Jewish troublemakers and rebels, and basically was kind of against Rome. Because in Philippi, where they were, basically they were a Roman outpost, and they boasted in how they were like Roman citizens. And so they turned the whole crowd against them, and they basically then tore their Paul and Silas's garments and threw them in jail. And this is not a lawful thing for them to do, because Paul and Silas were Roman citizens, so they had a right to a fair trial. And for them just to go instantly in jail or to be flogged was not good. And so they were thrown in jail, and their feet, hands, and necks were cuffed. So there's just no way of moving, and they were just completely uncomfortable. But let's take a look at Paul and Silas's response to suffering as how it brought them to the Lord, because I think they were a great example. So you guys can turn to Acts 16, 25 to 34. And it says, "About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, 'Don't harm yourself. We are all here.' The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked them, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they replied, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then they spoke to the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in the house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. And the jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he'd come to believe in God, he and his whole household." So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that we can study it, and that you are speaking to us, and I pray that you'd prepare our hearts today for what you want to say, and that, God, you would just speak through me. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So, in the face of suffering for the gospel, it is essential that we choose to embrace joy and willing to share the hope we have, for it is through our resilience and steadfast commitment that we can only find strength, but also serve as beacons of light to this world. So the first point that we can look at is, in the midst of suffering, let us embrace joy. I know this can be a hard thing to embrace sometimes, to be joyful in the midst of our suffering, because a lot of us would probably rather be upset, we'd rather be angry, we'd rather feel our emotions. But Paul and Silas in this situation were completely chained up. They couldn't move at all. And these jails that they were in would not be nice. And since they physically couldn't move, they moved their hearts towards God. They began to pray and sing hymns. Instead of groveling and complaining, they chose to make the most of their situation. Amidst their suffering, Paul and Silas felt the strong presence of the Holy Spirit, which filled their hearts with joy and praise. There's one thing that can't be taken away from Christians, and that is the presence of God. There's one thing that can't be taken away from Christians, and that is the presence of God. There's nothing that they can do in this situation but actually go to God, to be dependent on Him. Their joy did not come from themselves or in their own abilities, but it came from the presence of God. The first thing they went to in their struggles was to God. In His presence, they got His peace and His joy. In Philippians 4:4-7, Paul says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So when Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians, he was in jail, basically awaiting his trial for his execution. So he wasn't entirely in the greatest mindset. But he's encouraging the church, this Philippian church, who is dealing with persecution, to choose joy in their circumstances. And he doesn't say it once. He says it twice. He says, rejoice. And I'm going to say it again, rejoice. Rejoice in all circumstances. Paul's saying to bring everything before God, and we will receive the peace that surpasses all understanding, that we can't understand or comprehend. It may not change our situation, but we can find joy and peace in those situations. And this can only come by having faith and trust in God. It may not entirely change our situation, but we can persevere because we know that God is on our side. In John 16:33, it says, "In this world we'll have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome this world." Jesus never promised that we'd go through life and it would be easy, but He does promise we don't go through the storms alone. He's there. Joy is not the absence of pain, but is an attitude and mindset that we can obtain only through the help of Christ. Right? Joy is a choice, what we can. It only happens through being connected to God. And if we look at the early church, they're being persecuted. A lot of them lost their lives for the sake of the gospel. And this persecution didn't stop the work of God. Thousands of people were being saved. And as I said before, if we suffer so that someone can know Jesus, I think it's worth it. In the book of James, it addresses suffering. It says to consider it joy when you face trials or tribulations, because your trials produce perseverance and your perseverance produces character. I think God can take something bad and turn it into something good. When we have struggled, we can get over the hurdle because we don't do it alone. And we can also help others when we've gone through that situation. And Paul and Silas did exactly that then when they were in jail. Their life probably sucked there, but they chose to sing praises and worship God. And because of that, the jailer ended up getting saved. And I'm kind of reminded, if you ever heard of this man, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was basically a pastor in Nazi Germany, and I was reading one of his books, Life Together, for my class, and I just really loved the challenge of that, because in this time, he was encouraging the church through spiritual practices to stay strong together, that, you know, we should be unified, because he was really distraught and discouraged as what was going on and how other people were being treated. And he was willing to suffer for that. He actually went to jail. And the sad thing is 2 days after, 2 days before the World War II ended, he was martyred. He was killed. But he did it. And when he was in that jail cell, so many people got saved. Everyone in that jail cell became Christians because of him. Because of his suffering. And I think God can take our sufferings and use it to help others. Right? Where we can do that. And so just some things to think about is, have you ever felt you've suffered for the gospel? Have you thought about taking up your cross and following God? And the second point is that we can be beacons of light to others. So when Paul and Silas were praying, this huge earthquake happened, and it blew open all the doors, and the chains were just broken. And the jailer comes and sees that the door was open, and he thought that all the prisoners escaped. And so he was about to kill himself. And he was doing this because he would have received the exact same punishment the prisoners would have received that would have escaped. And so for him to sort of avoid embarrassment and shame, he tries to kill himself. And Paul shouts, "Stop! You know, we're all here. We haven't left." And immediately the jailer asks, "What must I do to be saved?" And this question most likely either came from that weird shouting girl following Paul and Silas around, or it came from them when they were praying and singing hymns. And Paul just simply says, "Believe in Christ," right? That he is God and he's the one that paved the way for salvation, right? Belief in Christ is the key to our salvation. It's not about our works. It's not about duties. It's not about going to church. It's actually just belief. That's where it starts, right? Those duties happen after we start to follow Jesus and we have those points. But at first, the key point to salvation is belief in Jesus Christ, that he died and rose again. Right, I think we don't have to make it super complicated when bringing it to when bringing others to Jesus. It's just about, hey, why don't we start with having a right relationship with God first? Teach them God's grace, kindness, and love. And it's really that simple. It's not about being perfect or acting a certain way. Right, the Philippian jailer, that's all Paul said to him. Just believe in Christ. And so through this difficult situation, Paul and Silas saw this opportunity to be beacons of light to someone. In Matthew 5, 14 to 16, it says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill and cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Jesus calls us to be salt and light in this world. And a lot of people in this world, and we know them, are going through hard and difficult situations. And we can be beacons of light to them. And we should be illuminating light for others. We have an opportunity to be lights in this world, to share the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We cannot hide our light, but we should shine it bright for others. Right? The early church, people were being saved because the disciples were going out and spreading the good news despite persecution or whatever was going on. And just how Jesus has impacted our life, we should share it with others so that they can know the fullness of life in God. The instance that Paul spoke up, he helped the Philippian jailer, and it transformed not only the person, but also his whole family. And it shows that salvation's not just limited to the jailer, but it's for everyone. And the jailer was filled with joy because he came to believe in Jesus. Where we all have this joy because of Jesus, and we should be willing to share it with others. Right? This is why Paul spoke up. He saw an opportunity to share the gospel. And it significantly made a difference in someone's life. And I know pain and suffering is not the greatest, and sometimes it can be unbearable at times, but if we trust in God and ask him to use us, he can take something that is bad and use it for his good. And this reminds me of the story of Joseph in Genesis, where his brothers basically sold him into slavery, and then basically he was wrongfully charged with something and then sent to jail for many years. But if he didn't go through all those hardships, all those pains, he wouldn't have been in the place of power that he was, because he came next to Pharaoh eventually. And so when he reconnected with his brothers again, his brothers were worried that he would get revenge on them. But what Joseph said to them is so profound in Genesis 50:20. He says, "What you intended for evil, God intended for good." We can be beacons of light to others. We live in a world that desperately needs Jesus. So many people are hurting and suffering, and God could use us to make a difference in someone's life. Right? Where our pain and suffering might be an encouragement to other people. As I said, if we can suffer and one person knows Jesus, it's worth it. For me in my life, I just think about the kids that I work with. And we're getting some non-churched kids coming, but I'm beginning to realize that a lot of them come from divorced families. And my parents divorced when I was 5 years old. And for me, that isn't the greatest, but I'm able to help those kids go through that. I'm able to walk through that. And that's what we can. We can use our pain and suffering to help others. And we can find that joy. Right? So at the end of the story, Paul ends up baptizing the Philippian jailer. And we talked about sort of last week how it'd be great to, I think, stand in the water with the person that you brought to Jesus. I think it's so worth it. There's nothing like it when someone comes fully alive to Christ. And if we can be a part of that journey, it's so worth it. And this calls us to be beacons of light to those people, to be the light of the world, as God says. And so my challenge to you, when I was sort of doing my study, I kept going back to the idea of the cost of discipleship and what it means to sort of take up our cross and follow him. And it might mean giving up some certain things. It might mean giving up, maybe we might have to deal with our fear of rejection from other people. It might mean maybe money, financial stuff. It might mean certain things that we have to give up in order for someone to follow Jesus, and it's worth it. And I want you guys to kind of reflect on that, is what am I willing to give up so that I can be a beacon of light to others? And so I just want to invite Natalia to come on up.
Hi, I'm Pastor Danny, the lead pastor at Lighthouse Church. I hope that this message has been an encouragement to you and helped you in your journey with God. At Lighthouse Church, we believe that Jesus came so that we could have life and that life to the fullest. Our resources, teaching, and ministries are designed to help us flourish in life. And if there's any way we can help you, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You'll find all the information you need at LadnerLife.com. That's www.LadnerLife.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified each time another message or resource comes available. Till next time, be blessed, live well.